must unlearn what you have learned.
What's up, everybody? It's Star Wars Talk with your lovely neighborhood Jedi host, Colton, and with me, as always, the Gungan Bob.
The Gungan Bob. Boy, boy!
We're so gonna have a good time!
But yeah, it's Star Wars Talk. We haven't done one in a couple weeks.
Very true, very true.
So yeah, we're back at it again with the white mans. We'll be talking about Rebels, The Last Jedi, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Battlefront 2, and episode a little bit about Episode 9 already, even though Episode 8's not out, or a Solo film. But, you know, we're going to be talking about it. So, stuff and things. Yeah, we'll be putting stuff in things. So, we'll just start it off 38 days until The Last Jedi.
Damn, that's crazy. I honestly, like, it's right around the corner. Like, it's hard to believe that it's right there.
Yeah, maybe you got to make three rights and we'll be right back at it again.
Oh, damn. I can't wait.
So, you've been keeping up on Rebels.
I have been, actually. Rebels has been fantastic. And I apologize for my voice because I'm kind of starting to lose my voice here and my throat's bothering me and it's going to suck. But that's all right. So, Rebels, we are now, as of today, there have been eight episodes released. I don't know how to math properly or...
Oh, way to go, Bob. Screwing up your notes already.
So, we haven't really talked much about them. Last week, I kind of forgot about what was going on. Or not last week, two episodes ago. Whenever we last talked about or had a Star Wars episode. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. But...
Bob injected too many marijuanas.
So, episode 1 and 2 was the Heroes of Mandalore story arc, where it started off on Mandalore. A lot about Sabine's story and how she had to rectify everything that was going on in the Mandalorian system and having the rightful leader of the Mandalorians there. Still not really sure if the Mandalorian army is going to team up with the Rebels or not. I think that they're not going to answer that at all. I think that's something that's going to be answered later on, maybe in a novel or another cartoon or something like that. But I kind of think
Forces of Destiny.
Yeah, but they're going to kind of keep that under wraps. I think that ended the Mandalore story. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Just those two episodes.
Yeah, just those two, and they were good. They were damn good episodes, because I mean it all had took place. It was all about Sabine last season mentioned how she helped create a weapon for the Empire, and this weapon she thought that she destroyed everything, all the plants and everything. Well, the Empire found a way to make the weapon. And they started using it against Mandalores, and basically just disintegrates anybody who's wearing Mandalorian armor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the story arc of those two episodes, was to find and destroy that weapon. They do, and everything like that, and it works out fine for them, which is nice. Of course, it always works out nice and fine, but as the season moves forward, you'll start to see that things aren't going as smooth.
Yeah, these does not go fine and nice.
Episodes 3 and 4, I thought were really good episodes also. Now, the great thing about this season is there's no filler. There's almost no filler because it's only going to be a 16 or 17 episode season, and they have a lot to cover to end the season or the series. Now, episode 3 and 4 is called In the Name of the Rebellion, part 1 and 2. The first episode is about going and finding a satellite, some communication tower, and destroying that communication. Not destroying, I'm sorry. They don't want to destroy it. They want to go and patch into the communication tower so they can intercept what the Empire is doing.
Yeah,
so they have
keep
an
them
idea.
From getting a touchdown.
Exactly. Now, Ezra has been having a hard time because the whole idea of everything in Rebels has been like they're going to go back to his home planet of Lothal and help rescue everything and get the Empire presence off of Lothal. And we're at that point now. Ezra's like, come on. Like, he's talking to Mon Mothma. Like, you have to go and help. You've promised that we would go and help Lothal. But Mon Mothma's like, look, you know, what is good for the few is not good for the many. And so her idea and the Rebellion's idea is we need to make sure that we save as many as we can. And unfortunately, we can't sacrifice and go to Lothal just to rescue a few when there's so many others that need rescued.
You know, like Alderaan. There we go.
Now,
drew a blank there.
Saw Gerrera, who was in Clone Wars as well as Rogue One.
He was in Clone Wars?
Yeah. Makes an appearance. And he's basically the complete opposite of Mon Mothma. He's like, let's go screw crap up, screw shit up with the Empire. That satellite that they're going to patch into, it's more about, like, Ezra wants to destroy it. So he's kind of like in line with Saw Gerrera. Let's destroy the Empire. Let's not leech off of him.
So he's a lawful chaotic, basically.
Kind of. So, you know, the episode goes where they go to the satellite and they run into problems. And they, because they were going to patch into it, they end up not being able to patch into it. They run into problems where they can't be rescued. And Saw Gerrera comes to the rescue, saves them, and then blows up the satellite. Mm-hmm. And he then takes Ezra and Sabine on a mission. And his mission is to, they thought, go stop, find a weapon or plans for a weapon and destroy it. And they get on this ship that's like shipping something, you know. So they get on a ship. Can't think of what I'm thinking of here. And they get there and they find that, one, there's prisoners. Bless you. One, there's prisoners. And two, they're shipping a large kyber crystal. Now, what's awesome about this episode is, if you ever watched the lost episodes of the Clone Wars, which were never finished, they didn't have, you know, the animation done. It was just sketches, and they did online. You could find it. There was a mission where Obi-Wan and Anakin intercept a kyber crystal, and that kyber crystal was going to be the one used for the Death Star. This kyber crystal is that as well. They're trying to get this kyber crystal to be used on the Death Star, and there's talk now about this weapon. They know of a weapon or something that the Empire is planning, but nobody knows what it is yet. Obviously, it's the Death Star.
It's the cake.
But they get on this ship, and Saw Gerrera actually destroys the kyber crystal and the ship and everything like that. He gets away, goes on his way, and Sabine and Ezra go back to Yavin Base to continue their mission. So I love those two episodes bringing Saw Gerrera into it. It was kind of neat. It's kind of weird, though, because he's not in his mechanical stuff yet. You know, he didn't have his breathing apparatus and his metal leg. So this isn't that far off from Rogue One. So I kind of thought that was a little weird, but we'll see what happens. Well,
yeah.
He might show up again.
Isn't there like five episodes, six episodes still? Or a crap ton of episodes.
There's about eight episodes after what I watched this morning, so
you never know. We might see him get blown in half or something.
Episodes 5 and 6 were called The Occupation and then Flight of the Defender. Now, episode 5, they finally convince Mon Mothma to send the ghost crew to Lothal because they heard that there's a weapon, there's something that they're doing on Lothal or something like that. So they go to Lothal and they go to rescue one of their friends there, one of Ezra's, you know, contacts on Lothal. They rescue him, and he goes, oh, there's a weapon being built, blah, blah, blah. So that's pretty much the first episode of the occupation. But then when they get to Lothal, they find out that Lothal is pretty much being burned. And it's like, it's not what it used to be. And Ezra is like really upset about that, because he promised that he would rescue them and be there. And, you know, the rebellion would be there. Yeah. And they just haven't been. Now, the second episode is called Flight of the Defender. There is a new TIE fighter called the Defender, which is being designed and built and tested on Lothal. And they get there, they see it. It's the fastest TIE fighter that there's ever been. It's got the best weapons. It's like, it's crazy.
So is it like interceptor body style?
No, it's kind of got three dishes on it, which is really weird.
Oh, they were in Rogue One, weren't they? I think they were in Rogue One.
No, those were the two like that were like slanted, which was different. But they go and they see it testing, and they go, okay, we need to steal the, or no, they wanted to, I think, to destroy it or something. And they're like, no, we can steal the plane or the nav computer in it, and we can learn a lot from it. And so they sneak down to go and steal it. Sabine's in the TIE fighter trying to steal it. Ezra's kind of keeping watch. And then who lands on the planet but Grand Admiral Thrawn? And now shit hits the fan. So Sabine and Ezra end up taking off in the Defender, and they're going to try and escape in it, but they get shot down. So they hide the hyperdrive, and then they take the nav computer out, and that's pretty much where that episode doesn't end there. Actually, where it ends is the Loth Wolfs. There's a Loth Wolf that shows up and starts talking, not talking to Ezra, but he's kind of guiding Ezra. And there's one moment where he looks at the Loth Wolf and he's like, hey, can you help me? Can you help us get out of here? And he looks at him and goes, Doom. Like, D-U-M-E. Mm-hmm. Now, for an entire week, people are like, what does it mean, Doom? Because people thought it was D-O-O-M, like Doom. Yeah. But no, what D-U-M-E is the last name of Kanan's real name. And his name is Caleb Doom. And so, like, it's like, okay, what does that mean? What is he talking about, Caleb Doom, you know? Mm. Well, the Loth Wolf...
the hell was that noise?
The Loth Wolf ends up taking Sabine and Ezra into safety, and they get back and everything like that. And that's pretty much the end of that episode. Mm. Then the next two episodes are called Kindred and Crawler Commanders. Now, those are the two episodes that just came out today. Excellent, excellent. I'm telling you, Kindred was so good. Now, what they did was they had to go and find the hyperdrive that they took out of that TIE Defender. The reason why they have to find that is because they have a U-Wing that they need to put the hyperdrive in to escape the planet, because they have no way of getting off the planet because there's a blockade and everything like that. So they go and they're trying to find the hyperdrive that they hid. Well, then there's an assassin that Grand Admiral Thrawn hires to send to Lothal to attack them. So this this assassin kind of goes after them, finds them, starting to go after them. They get away, but they're not safe. They go and hide in the mountains. And while they're hiding in the mountains, they get away. They get the hyperdrive to the U-Wing. They put the U-Wing in. And then Hera takes the U-Wing by herself with the nav computer and goes back to Yavin Base while everybody else stays on Lothal. They run, whenever that happens, the Empire and the assassin finds them, they run into the mountains, but the problem is there's no escape from the mountains. So they're like trying, like, where do we go? And they see the Loth Wolf, and the Loth Wolf kind of guides them again, but it's three Loth Wolves this time. So they take them into this cave, and they're in this cave, and now they have TIE bombers bombing the shit out of it, and they're like, we need to get out of here, like, we need out of here. And the one Loth Wolf is looking at Kanan and says Doom again. And he's like, everybody's like, what does that mean? And Kanan's like, that's my name. My name is Caleb Doom. And you start to get this feeling like he's coming near the end of his life. Mm-hmm. There was a moment in this episode where Hera and Kanan finally kissed, because there's always been this what if, you know, will they, won't they type of tension throughout the show. And there's been there was one time a couple episodes ago where they almost kissed and Chopper interrupted them. And then this episode they almost kissed and they got interrupted. But then right before Hera left, she gave him a big kiss, and Sabine, like, you know,
he's like, hey,
you know, like, hey, look at this, you know, type of thing. And so that happens. So he said goodbye to Hera. You know, like, that was his goodbye to Hera. I think it's only a matter of time until he says goodbye to everybody else. I think that the Loth Wolf knows, because they talk about how the Loth Wolf is actually very attuned to the Force, more so than any other living creature on this planet, very attuned to the Force. And I think it knows and is trying to guide Kanan on his path of where he needs to go. Mm-hmm. And I think this episode may have been the best episode of the season, simply for that, because we're starting to see this idea of what's going to happen with Kanan. And that's kind of what I picked up on it. But then they get away. They start to follow the Loth Wolf, and like they grab onto his tail and they all take hands and they start to walk down the tunnel, down the cave, and it just turns like crazy blue, and it's just like almost like a hyperspace type of thing, but not. Mm-hmm. And it was just like really trippy. And then boom, they're laying on the ground and they wake up and like, how did we get here? And they ended up being halfway across the planet like that. So
that's crazy. So they walked through hyperspace.
Something. Yeah. Like, who knows what it was, but it was absolutely crazy how it happened.
Black magic.
And that was the end of Kindred. Then Crawler Commanders. That one was an all right episode. This is, if any episode in this season felt like filler, it was this episode. Now Hera obviously went to Yavin Base. She succeeded, got there, gave the nav computer. Now those on Lothal are trying to get a hold of Hera to be like, hey, did you get there? And are you sending backup? Because Hera gets there and she's trying to convince Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, and all of them, like, hey, we need to go back there and help Lothal and save these guys. So she does her thing, you know, at the big round table from Rogue One and A New Hope. She's there talking. It felt very similar to Jyn Erso, like, you know, like her speech about, you know, saving somebody and being the ones to rescue, or not rescue, but
to do something.
To start the rebellion, like to really push the rebellion. So while that's going on Yavin, they're kind of on Leothal, and they find this ship that's actually the one burning the land and burning Leothal. And they jump on the ship because it has a communication tower that they can reach Yavin. That's pretty much it. There wasn't anything crazy on this episode. Overall, the season has been excellent. We're 8 episodes in. We have 8 or 9 episodes left. I think it's 16 or 17 episodes the season is. So we're getting close to the end. I think we have 2 more episodes until the break. So we have 2 more episodes, and then there's no more until like March, I think.
Oh, lol.
So it's crazy. I can't wait until we get the rest of the season, but it's been really good so far.
So how would you rate it?
What, out of all 4 seasons, like which is the best, or like a rating?
Both.
I mean, so far I would say this has been my favorite season thus far for Rebels. Last season was fantastic with everything with Darth Maul, but I think this season, because of the finality of all of the characters that I know is going to happen, because we know Hera survives, we know Chopper survives. Besides that, we don't know anybody else that survives. And starting to see what they may be doing with Kanan, I really like that. I like how they're bringing in this whole Force aspect to it. The only problem that I've had with Rebels is this idea of Jedi. Mm-hmm. Like, people talk about the Jedi like, okay, yeah, they're still a thing. But then in A New Hope, they're like, oh, that religion is long gone. So close to A New Hope. It's kind of, you know, one of those things. But I can get past that. This season's great. I would say out of 4 remotes, I'd give it like 3, 3.5.
So it's that kind of good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I really need to catch up with Rebels. I am like episode 2 of season 1 behind. It's really bad. So also while we were gone, my notes were a little scattered, just saying. The Han Solo film got a name.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, it's Solo, a Star Wars story.
How do you feel about that? Like, I mean, it's
such a bad name. Han Solo is an excellent character that you can get at least a better title out of.
I personally would have preferred if they just did Han Solo. Like, if they would have called it Han Solo, kept the Star Wars story thing out of it, just Han Solo, I would have liked that.
I think it wasn't Rogue One considered, like, seriously, like Rogue One, a Star Wars story or something.
It's called Rogue One, a Star Wars story. It's not Star Wars Rogue One. It's Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Do you think they're doing that to keep the spinoff separate from everything else?
I agree, but I remember there being a story shortly before Rogue One came out where they said, not all of the spinoffs will say a Star Wars story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I swear they said that Han Solo's movie wouldn't say that. I could be wrong, or maybe it was just Disney actually saying that.
It's been a train wreck so far.
Yeah.
Got to make sure it's still Star Wars.
But
we're going to go in and see a Casino Royale movie, but it's Star Wars.
Overall, I mean, I'm slowly building anticipation for the movie.
Nah.
I'm about where I was when, like, Rogue One, I wasn't 100% excited for. It wasn't until after The Force Awakens came out where I was like, all right, now I can see Rogue One. So I'm thinking after I see The Last Jedi, I'm going to be like, all right, Han Solo now. Because, like, Rogue One, I was like, yeah, cool, I want to see it. But The Force Awakens, got to see The Force Awakens. You know?
I got to see that one first.
So I think that's kind of how it's going to go with me for Han Solo. I think that's kind of where I'm at. Just like, yeah, it's cool. You know, it's Star Wars, I'm going to see it. But after we see the greatness that is The Last Jedi, I'm going to be like, I want more Star Wars. And that's going to be what it is. So,
I don't want to see this movie.
I got to get my fix, man.
I don't want to see this movie. I don't.
We're going to see it. You're going
to
see it.
I know I'm going to see it, but I don't want to. Speaking of that, our movie passes, like, I use my movie pass to see Thor. There we go. We're spoiling TRC, even though this episode will release after TRC.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I use it. It worked really well.
I want to talk about it on the TRC podcast, definitely. But I used mine for seeing Thor also. Pretty good.
I was expecting like something to be like, hey, card doesn't work.
I was worried, like, I literally, because, you know, you go in the app and you pick, you know, your movie, and it's like, you have 30 minutes. Now, I got to the theater an hour before the theater opened, and I kind of waited a little bit before I even ordered my, put it on there. So it was like, the movie was at 1, I did it at like 12:25. I was like, I want this ticket. And it was like, you have 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, crap. Are they going to open in time? Are they going to open in time? So they did. I walk in, and they're like, that's $8.75. I'm like, here's my card. And I was like, please work, please work, please work, please work, please work. And it did. I was like, score.
I did mine. I was almost late for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was bad. But anyway, that's not Star Wars related. So this episode was planned out right before Halloween, if you couldn't tell. So I'm gonna give you a question here, Bob, and I want you to answer it.
Okay.
If they were to make a horror Star Wars film, what would it be about? What would you make it about?
A horror Star Wars film. That's a good question. I mean,
I got Bob on his toes.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of interesting to take some random like character, like
Weesa like gonna pick Jar Jar,
Aunt Beru, or something like that, and like she's at home alone, and like Tusken Raiders are like literally coming, yeah, you know, and trying to scavenge and steal stuff from their homestead, and you know, she has to fight them all. I think that could be kind of scary. I mean, it's kind of comical.
You know, there's like multiple zombie stories in Star Wars, right? Like the zombie stormtroopers, the zombie Gungans.
That's not canon.
But you could make it canon with your film. Mine would be Jar Jar's dating life. But that's a horror film. Very closely mirrors by
probably is exactly like yours.
Weesa. Okay.
Weesa made a big boo boo.
All right, got mildly inappropriate there. Sorry, everyone.
it is what it is. So let's move on to The Last Jedi. There was a crap ton that came out with The Last Jedi over the course of, what, 2 weeks? Two, 3 weeks?
2-3 weeks, yeah.
So let's start it off with the woke trailer.
Woke? So you want me to play it? Is that what you want me to do?
That'd be nice.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Nice.
Oh, wait, what'd I do wrong?
Oh, way to go, Paul. If it doesn't play, I have a breakdown of it.
Yeah, my audio doesn't want to work.
Of the tiger, hold on, it's the thrill of the fight, rising up to the challenge of our rise.
I tell you what, the trailer or the TV spot, it was one of those things where I was sitting at home and, you know, I had no idea that it was coming. Nobody actually knew that it was coming. And it just decided to show up during the World Series. Like, it was just one of those things. It was like, and here's the World Series, and then
here's Star Wars.
Here's Star Wars. And everybody was like, what?
It was one of those things that's like a frat. No, okay.
Let the past die. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Darkness rises, and light to meet it.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
Come on! This is not going to go the way you think.
Can we get more?
Right? It's like every time I see something Star Wars, it just gets better and better. But for everybody that, you know, is listening to the audio, and we don't really have video for it, here's a breakdown of it. First off, we see Luke activating the Millennium Falcon. It's a nice little shot.
Yeah.
And wasn't it in the other trailer as well?
No, this is the first time that we see Luke in the Millennium Falcon. And it's not like he necessarily turns it on. It's just like he walks into the cockpit and then all the lights come on and you're like, oh, it's Luke on the Falcon.
Yeah, and then you're like all nostalgic and
Oh, yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of people who've been posting, like, the first time Han went back on the Falcon to the first time Luke's on the back on the Falcon. And it also kind of matches up to the deleted scene from The Force Awakens when Kylo Ren goes on the Falcon. Like, they all kind of walk in and, like, take it in, you know, when they first get in there. And it's kind of neat. I wonder how if they're going to do the same thing with Leia.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. That'd be cool if they, you know, if all three characters get one last chance in the Falcon.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. That'd be a nice little carry-off for Carrie Fisher.
It would be, yeah.
You see a close-up on Kylo Ren again before he smashes his helmet. That's been in, what, almost everything so far?
Yeah, they've shown that multiple times.
Or at least some sort, some variation of it.
I think the whole thing with that is they're trying to show and explain that Kylo Ren wore the mask for so long because he was ashamed of who he had become.
Mm-hmm.
He's now getting rid of the mask to accept who he is. And it kind of talks about that in the trailer. Like, yeah. You know, like you have to let go of your past and move forward type of thing. And that's kind of what he's doing there.
And then we get a slightly extended shot of one of the Resistance ships being destroyed while another ship escapes. Perhaps a minor character dies. You know, building up suspense because, you know, we still don't know what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Hopefully Leia doesn't die. That'd suck. Then Snoke in his throne room with Hux, and along with the new line, darkness rises and light to meet it.
Are you looking at me like, what should I say? Okay. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, you don't have to say anything.
I mean, it's a neat saying, and I think it's, you know, darkness rose, so Kylo Ren and Snoke and them are rising, and there had to be light to come and meet it, which is Rey. You know, that's...
She's the ray of light. That was probably intentional somewhere. Oh, let me get comfortable here. Sorry. Then you get a shot of Luke looking over Rey's training with some concerns. I keep looking at you after every single one of them.
You are, yeah. Just, I don't know why.
Shake my head.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a podcast. I can't shake my head, right?
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
Oh, okay.
Then we get new shots of Kylo Ren and Rey's lightsabers. Luke looking at Rey's... Oh, wait. Whoops. I skipped one. Shots of Millennium Falcon participating in the Battle of Crait.
Battle of Crait. Yeah, is that where it comes out from the ground?
Yep. Like, along with Finn cheering it on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think that's what he's cheering on. He's I think he destroys something, and he's like, yeah!
Cause he's like, 15 kill streak.
Because it mimics his... from The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he gets that first kill in the TIE fighter with Poe. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
He's like, woo, 25 kill streak, tactical nuke, inbound.
Kill-tacular.
Bruh. Oh, crap, where am I? The Millennium Falcon losing its newer radar dish again on Crait while escaping a cavern. And then
for toys, because now they're gonna put another circular one on it or a triangle one, so they can sell more toys or something.
Yeah, probably. that one's just a little nitpicky thing. A new shot of Leia at the command bridge of the Radus.
Is that what they're calling it?
RADDUS.
Or Radus. Okay. I wonder if that's like in memory of Admiral Raditz from Rogue One.
Probably.
That'd be kind of cool, even though it's Raditz and not Radus. But who knows.
Hey, things get blurred in history.
Yeah.
But, and then we get a new shot, or we get a shot of Rey standing with her lightsaber looking conflicted while towering over Luke.
Is she towering over Luke? We don't know for a fact. It looks like that. That's the way that they put this trailer. Again, I think all this stuff is about misdirection. So you have Luke laying there. You have Luke laying on the ground, and that's when he goes, this isn't going to go the way that you think.
Yeah.
And Rey then is standing there. Now, here's an interesting thing. Watch that clip over and over again, because it shows her picking up her lightsaber, like lifting her lightsaber, and then her hand going there. But if it looks kind of awkward, I think they reverse that shot. Mm-hmm. I think she's actually putting her hand down and putting the lightsaber down. And I don't think she is necessarily standing over Luke there. But that's me. Whoops.
And then last but not least, to settle everybody's concern about this being in Episode 5. More than enough footage of the Battle of Crait to make sure it's not a repeat of the Battle of Hoth.
I was listening to Collider's Star Wars Jedi Council, and Christian Harloff, who's the host of that show, made a really good point, and I think it was him I think it was at that show. They think that it is actually the Battle of Kratos at the end of the movie.
That would be interesting.
You know, that's the final battle of the film, not the beginning. Because we already know that the beginning, we've been told that the beginning is going to start right where The Force Awakens left off.
Which would make
sense. Plus, you have to remember Finn is injured. We see those shots of Poe trying to run away and a ship blowing up. And you have, you know, so like, you also have to have Finn at some point go to... I can't remember the casino planet's name, but you know he goes there at some point with Rose. They meet DJ, so they're making a point that the crate battle may be near the end of the movie, which would be interesting.
Yeah, not to change the subject. Remember when I went to GameStop the other day and spent you know that much money on pop figures?
Yeah.
I bought their exclusive DJ one.
No, did you?
Cool. Yeah, not to change the subject at all though, but so yeah, that's pretty much my breakdown of that woke trailer.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that they did that with nobody knowing. It came, you know, and it completely awoke the internet.
It woke its mind.
I mean, the internet went crazy. Star Wars fans went crazy because they were just like, whoa, look at this, new Star Wars, and there was new footage and everything like that. And, you know, that shot, I think the big takeaway from that is the shot of Luke on...
Yeah, and the Millennium Falcon.
On the Millennium Falcon, yeah. Besides that, it was cool.
Go sit down and play that monster chess game thing. With Chewie. And then, so, next thing on here I have is projected to make $215 million on opening weekend. Do you think it's going to make that much?
Yeah.
I think it's going to make more. Not much more. I'm going to say anywhere between 217 to 220.
What did The Force Awakens make? I want to say Force Awakens made 250 opening weekend.
Yeah, I made something around there.
I'd say 240, 245.
Wow.
I think a lot of it depends on...
How many times we see it.
How many times we see it, for sure. No, I think a lot of it depends on the critics. Because a lot of people did not like the Force Awakens. And I think that they want to see what the critics say about...
I don't understand. Jedi. Like, it was good.
It was. Like, it was good. I don't know. It's just the way people are. You know that.
Assholes.
Before you move on, there was also, since we've last talked, there was an international trailer, which was... Was that your next thing?
Yeah, that kind of. Maybe. Are you going to talk about the Japanese trailer?
That's the international trailer.
Yeah, that was my next one anyway. Okay.
it's essentially the same exact trailer as the one that we got on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. However, they added two scenes. They took away the Kylo Ren scene in the beginning where he's standing there overlooking. And then they added a shot of C-3PO and they extended the shot of BB-8 and the X-Wing. And that's pretty much all they did. There wasn't much difference in the trailer at all. It was pretty much the same exact thing as, and which is different because if you remember with The Force Awakens, we had that first trailer. It was phenomenal. And then the international trailer came out like a month later, like they always do. And that was the big like Han and Leia one. And it was just phenomenal with the Han and Leia theme and stuff like that. It was so great. And it gave a lot of new footage. You didn't get it with the international trailer. And I think that's a big reason why they gave us that 44 or 45 second TV spot, because they knew the international trailer wasn't going to give us anything new. So they're like, we'll give them it this way then.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll give them a couple new scenes.
So, but with that, there was an international synopsis. Do you have that or no?
I don't think I do.
So the international synopsis of the movie, which is new compared to what the other synopsis is for domestically, it says, "The light, the darkness, Rey and Kylo Ren, two people who seem to move between the two. A new shocking development is hinted to await them in Star Wars The Last Jedi. What awaits Rey and Kylo Ren is the question of light or the darkness, as together they are tossed and moved by the powerful Force. Rey, who awakens the Force in the previous film, carries a sense of being lost and unsure, while she be taken... Will she be taken away by the darkness?"
Bum, 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 bum.
So... interesting, because a lot of people have been speculating for so long that that Rey is going to turn to the dark side. I don't think that's what it is. Just like Luke was swayed by the dark side, you know, I think that she, and more so Anakin, swayed by the dark side. I've always said, and I've been saying this for a while, I think this is going to be very similar to the prequels, just with a different outcome. Just flip the outcome. You have, mm-hmm. you know, Anakin, who was swayed by the dark and went to the dark side. I think this one, while yes, Rey is going to be swayed by the darkness, you're going to have Kylo Ren swayed by the lightness, and you're going to actually see Kylo Ren come back to the light, and Rey's just going to stay light. I don't think she's going to change. I really think that's what's going to happen.
Gray Jedi becomes canon.
No, go away.
Why? I don't know why you hate Gray Jedi so much.
Hey, I know we talked about Solo a little bit ago. I forgot about this.
The poop that is the Solo movie.
This right here is actually what got me a little more excited for the movie. Ron Howard has reshot nearly 80% of Han Solo. So, I mean,
it's going to be a good film.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows that Disney cares more about a good product than just money, because they're going to make money no matter what they did.
Yeah.
But they took the time and said, you know what?
And made it right.
Let's do this right. So that's a good thing. We're all over the place today.
Yeah, no, it's a mess right now. It's okay, though. It's okay. We're good. We're freaking out a little bit.
All right,
we're okay.
Back to The Last Jedi. There was a list of demands, a very strict list of demands that theaters have to obey to be allowed to play The Last Jedi in the theaters. And because of this, there's some not major theater chains, but like smaller theater chains and mom and pop theaters that aren't able to or won't be showing The Last Jedi. Now, some of the demands are this. In the United States, theaters will have to fork over 65% of the film's box office gross earnings to Disney.
That's a little insane.
And the screen for The Last Jedi has to be in their largest auditorium for the first 4 weeks of the film's run. And then there's some other terms that are still being kept secret. But those are the two big ones. And, you know, while we're all excited about The Last Jedi, you have to realize, like, people are getting upset about, oh, look at these demands. This is ridiculous. These kind of deals are done all the time with movies. We just never hear about them.
Because they're not Star Wars.
Like, for instance, we'll take the Marvel films. You know, I'm sure the first Iron Man that came out, they probably negotiated, like, hey, we'll take 30% of the ticket sales. Mm-hmm. But now, with Avengers Infinity War coming out, they're probably like, look, give us 55%, because of the powerhouse. They know people are going to go see these movies, so they're able to demand more of the cut of the ticket sales. That's how it works in the film industry, and I don't think people quite understand that. They think that Disney's just, you know, throwing their weight around, like, look, you want to show it? You have to give us this. No, it's a business, and they're in a business to make money, you know, and that's the idea. Now, people are also saying, oh, they're trying to beat Avatar's numbers. No, this has nothing to do. The money that Disney makes has nothing to do with the total gross of that movie. That total gross is on ticket sales completely, not what the theater gets, not what Disney gets. It's the total ticket sales. So no matter what, this isn't them trying to say we want to beat Avatar money, we want to beat The Force Awakens money. No, this is about them just saying, look, we made a product. Hundreds and thousands of millions and thousands, bazillions of people are going to go see this movie.
You made such a fictional number there.
I really did. They want to make as much money as they can, and they have the power and ability to do that. You know, if theaters don't want to agree to it, then they don't need to show the movie. It's that simple. That's all I have to say about it. Like, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, it's the right thing to do, but it's free enterprise. Like, that's what businesses can do today. So,
I mean, the first one kind of is a little much, like 55. That's over half.
65%.
Yeah, like 65. That's over half. That's almost 3/4.
But you have to remember that theaters make most of their money on concessions.
Yes.
You know, and that's...
So they're making their money regardless.
Exactly.
I don't think the second one that we know of is too ridiculous.
The largest screen?
Yeah. I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
I don't see why theaters wouldn't do that to begin with.
Exactly. Like, that's something that should already be done anyway.
Exactly. I mean, who doesn't want to watch Star Wars on the biggest screen that you can watch it on?
Exactly. Well, you got to figure, for a month, people like me and you are going to see it 17,000 times.
Well, I mean, I'm seeing it at least that opening weekend. I'm going to see it at least 4 times right there.
Nerd.
So
I'm probably going to see it at least twice. Yeah. Maybe 3 times. I'm not going to spend actual money. I'll just keep using my movie pass.
We'll see what happens because we're going to go, we're going to see it early on that Thursday.
Yep.
And then down. If it's over, we could say, hey, why don't we use our movie pass to see it again?
Yeah.
Boom.
And then go Friday. Well,
I'll be going Friday to see it again.
I'll probably go Friday to
and
see it.
And then Saturday.
I'll have that Friday off.
Saturday, I'll be taking my kids and my mom to see it.
I'll probably see it Saturday.
And then Sunday, after I take the kids home, I'll probably go see it. And then I'm off Monday. So I'll probably see it 5 times.
I'll see it 4. My schedule on Sunday is too rough.
I want to see it. Look, I'm not a big fan of 3D movies, but I like to see Star Wars in all the possible ways.
Yeah, that's what
it.
I
so
do.
I'll see it in regular definition, or not regular, but, you know, standard theater. I'll see it in IMAX theater. I'll see it in IMAX 3D theater, you know, so I'll see it in any way possible. And if I can find a 4D theater near here, which there isn't one, unfortunately,
it'd be awesome if there was.
Yeah, it would.
Like 4K?
4D, not 4K. 4D.
4D?
That's where, like, the seats move and it gets cold
and
stuff. Right, I think there's only, like, 3 or 4 in the United States.
What? Why isn't that a bigger thing?
I think they're still testing it out to see how it works. And tickets for that are, like, ridiculous. They're, like, $50 a ticket. And it's,
yeah,
like, crazy.
But you got to think the experience, huh?
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to do it for Star Wars.
$50. So you have anything else on Last Jedi?
Nothing on Last Jedi exactly. I do have some remarks from Kathleen Kennedy that came up. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm going to move on to something else.
Okay. Kathleen Kennedy was a guest on Star Wars YouTube's channel, The Star Wars Show. They have a weekly or something like that. They have a show on YouTube, and it's a decent show. I mean, I watch it from that time to time. It gives you some insight that you don't get anywhere else and such, but sometimes it's just kind of like...
Just like us, you whatever. Get insight from
yeah, I don't know. Anyways,
you get insight here that you don't get anywhere else.
True.
There you go.
But Kathleen Kennedy sat down with the host of the show, and she was talking about Star Wars. So obviously, it's the Star Wars show. And she said that they have been in talks and plans for another 10 years of Star Wars, and they're in the middle of trying to figure out where Rey, Finn, and Poe are going to go from here, and BB-8. She did mention BB-8 as well. So people, the internet went crazy. They're like, oh my goodness, they're making more than just 7, 8, 9. There's going to be a 10, 11, and 12, and blah, 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 blah. Now, put the brakes on everybody.
We went up to 30.
Yeah. They talked about this back shortly after Lucasfilm was bought by Disney. And I don't know why everybody just forgets about things. No, maybe they don't care about Star Wars as much as me, but I remember this stuff. They talked about it then. After The Force Awakens came out, Bob Iger talked about, hey, we have 10 more years of Star Wars up coming out. So it's not that it's just... I think they're constantly, here's 10 years. And they're always planning 10 years at a time. So when a year passes, they add another year to that 10 years. So continuously stays 10. With that, they also talked about doing... Not just 7, 8, 9, but 10, 11, and 12 as well. That has been in talks, and they want to do that. I believe what's going to happen is I think we're going to get a 5 or 6 year, you know, gap between the two trilogies. But there will be a 10, 11, and 12. And it will be with Finn, Rey, Poe, and BB-8 as well, because I think it's going to carry over similar to how these past few trilogies have carried over. You know, these characters stay... You know, and I want them to continue the episodic films in the Skywalker family. Like, I think that's what they need to do. The episodic films, absolutely. Skywalker, that is the Skywalker family. So give me 30 movies about the Skywalker family. I'm happy about that. Why are you looking at me like that? You don't want a continuation? Because that's what the standalone movies are for, is the not that stories. You know, so the Old Republic, the Boba Fett's, the Obi-Wan's, the Han Solo's.
But if you're
going to
give me an Old Republic one, so you're going to go 0, -1, -2?
But it's not part of the episodic films. That's a standalone.
But it would have to be. Like,
no, it doesn't have to be.
You're going
to
tell me you're going to cram all of the Old Republic in one film.
No.
Then it would be its own thing.
It can make its own episodic films.
Yeah, 0, -1, and -2.
No, it doesn't need to be part of the same episodic film verse.
Well, you can't have 2 1s, 2 2s, and 2 3s.
You could do The Old Republic, Episode 1. It wouldn't be Star Wars Episode 1. It would be The Old Republic, Episode 1, A Star Wars Story.
The rate they're going, it's going to be The Old Republic, A Star Wars Story, Episode 1.
the rise of Bane.
Dark Fist in the Night or some crazy stuff like that.
No, but honestly, like, that's, I think people need to realize that we're going to continue to get episodic films that focus on Ray's pimp. I just courted Finn and Poe, you know.
Whatever, man.
It's
canon.
Canon.
You heard it here first. They do the fusion dance.
I know a lot of people think that it also could mean that they're going to have, you know, okay, there's going to be a Poe standalone and there's going to be a Finn standalone. It's possible.
Depending on how they decide to do 8 and 9. You could get away with doing it in a gap, because it's like.
I really think Poe's going to be the one that takes over for Leia. I think that's where they're kind of leading Poe, is to be the next general, you know, somebody that could take over. So, yeah, that's all. That's all I got for Kathleen. What do you guys think? Let us know what you think in the comments below. Reach out to us about what you think the next 10 years of Star Wars is going
to
be.
And while you're commenting, don't forget to. Give us a review on iTunes so you can win your entry to win a Superman pop figure.
Yay, giving away next week, actually.
Yeah.
We've got 1 week, people, 1 week to...
Yeah, you know, just shamelessly promote. Just write a review.
I think we have 4 or 5 reviews on there, so...
Hey, write one. I mean, you hate us? Give us 1 star. You like us? Give us 6.
I think you can only go 4, but whatever.
I thought it was 5. Oh, whatever. Just give us a review. We'll send you some stuff. So, yeah, on to the next one. I have Battlefront 2 news. Visceral Games has shut down. The maker, I'm going to say creator of Battlefront 2.
Wrong.
Yes.
Wrong.
You're wrong.
Visceral was not making Battlefront 2.
Producing.
No.
You're
that
producing.
Was EA and DICE that,
you're
made,
producing.
That made Battlefront 2. You're talking about the other Star Wars game that was in development. The one that was the adventure, action-adventure game. That
the Han Solo. About. Solo. A Star Wars video game.
No. There was Visceral Games was making a Star Wars game. They've been talking about it's an action-adventure game. At this point, nobody knows what's happening with it. They know that... They talked about that it was... They weren't going in the direction that they wanted it to go. So and Visceral was being shut down. So they shut down Visceral, and
they got one of them Fable treatments.
I think what's going to happen is because you got to remember Respawn Studios or Industries or whatever.
I think it was Studios.
Respawn Studios. That's they make the Titanfall series. They're making a Star Wars game also right now.
Oh, that would be tit.
So you have to remember, we are going to be getting a few Star Wars games over the next couple of years. Battlefront 2 comes out in a week. But I think that, you know, again, just like they did with Han Solo, they're like, look, it's not turning out how we want to. Instead of just doing a cash grab, let's make sure we do the story right.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see this story pop up. I think EA is going to give it to another one of their... You know, studio companies, and like, hey, make this for us. You know, we're gonna produce it, but you develop it. Develop the game. This is the story we have. Do it. I think that's what's gonna happen.
Well, that answers that one.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then,
you're our video game guy too. What are you doing?
My life's a mess, man.
You get a girlfriend and.
No, you didn't hear that first. So we're gonna go on to episode 9 news.
Ooh. Go ahead.
So J.J. Abrams says the episode will go elsewhere with the franchise and will also reference the prequels more than anything else. They said that... Well, here, I'm going to give you some quotes here. Brace yourself. Bob, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hold on to your socks.
Hold on to your butts.
I'm going to knock them off. They said that they're going to be brave and there will be big surprises. I got one impression that... JJ felt like he had to refresh the previous Star Wars moments for a modern audience in The Force Awakens. And it now feels like they have free reign to do what they want. Apparently they have no interference from Kathleen or Pablo or the Lucasfilm. Whoa. I got super loud. Lucasfilm Story Group. 9 is also a film which unites all 3 trilogies and brings everything together. That's what they will tell me. I worry a little bit that the questions I was asking were too leading. I was speaking to Chris and he said he was talking about the OT. I lost my
Chris being Chris Terrio, who is the other writer of the...
Sorry, I should have been more specific with that.
That's all right.
I said about how I grew up with the prequel trilogies, and the prequels were my entry point into Star Wars. I asked about the elements of the prequel trilogy coming into 9, and Chris, the writer, other writer, said about how 9 unites all of it. He said 9 definitely makes it feel like they're all happening in the same universe, and there would be a prequel trilogy elements in 9. They could be visual or thematic.
Thematic, yes.
He didn't overtly say that there would be returning planets or characters from the prequel trilogy or anything. Those are two nice quotes that we're going to actually see a lot more Gungans.
No, I think that what they're hinting at is this whole aspect of the Chosen One. I think, that was something that was... It was never really talked about in the original trilogy, but in the prequel trilogy, it was there. It was very prevalent. Yeah. Then in Rebels, they even touched on the Chosen One in Rebels. I think this is a theme that we're going to see carry on into this trilogy here. I think we're going to actually hear about the Chosen One in The Last Jedi, and then I think it's going to be very prevalent in Episode 9 and discovering that...
And we're going to learn Jar Jar was really a Sith.
I think that it's something where the Chosen One, there isn't just one Chosen One. It kind of jumps generation to generation.
And
I think that's what's going
to
happen.
Given a throwback to one of our first Star Wars talks, I was right in that theory.
I still say Anakin's the Chosen One. But I think that's what's going to happen.
But,
so that wouldn't make me wrong.
Well, no, it wouldn't. Not going to change the subject here. I just had a good idea for a horror Star Wars film. You're an Ewok, first person, after the Battle of Endor and all the debris crashing on Earth. On Endor.
Yeah.
Earth. Crashing on Endor, and it's like, you know, an apocalyptic film.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know what popped into my head. Like, that's why I stopped where I was there for a second, because it just smacked me in the forehead. But you have anything else? Because I'm going to lead into one big thing here that we're probably going to talk about for a couple minutes.
Do you want to do the questions now or at the end?
Well, do you want to talk about who would have won if we would have switched the roles in Episode 3?
Let's do the questions, okay. And then we'll do that. Okay, so what I wanted to do with us being just a little more than a month away from The Last Jedi, I wanted us to answer some of the big questions, yes or no questions.
Mm-hmm.
For the movie, for instance, you know, will Kylo Ren be redeemed and turned to the light? And what we're going to do here is I'm going to track these yes or no questions, and you know, if Colton says yes, I'll put a Y. If I say yes, I'll put a Y. Whatever, I'm going to track them, and then after the movie comes out, we'll go back and see how close we were, if we were right, if we were wrong.
I'm going to shoot 100 here.
So, Colton, number one, will Luke turn to the dark side?
A funny thing, I actually read on Star Wars News Net that Mark Hamill did an interview, I can't remember with who. Luke does not turn to the dark side. He is a broken and not confident. What's the opposite of confident?
Unconfident?
Yes, there you go. Well, I thought there was a better word for it. He's just a broken and unconfident Jedi after like Kylo turned to the dark side. Okay. So I'm going to say no.
No. I agree. I don't think we're going to see Luke turn to the dark side. Will Rey turn to the dark side?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Probably tempted, but not
turned. Will Kylo Ren be redeemed and turn to the light?
No.
Okay, remember, this is only The Last Jedi. All right, no. This isn't in this series. I say yes, actually.
Why? I mean, I think, I'm not going to say he's going to get turned, but I think he's going to still struggle with his like internal battle of it.
I think that... Two things. I don't believe that he should be redeemable, but I think he will be redeemed in this movie, and it's going to come at the very end. I think that moment where we see in the trailer that we think he's going to be shooting Leia's ship, mm-hmm. I think it isn't that he's shooting Leia's ship. I think that there's another ship that's targeting Leia's ship, and he shoots that ship out.
Yeah.
And that's what his struggle is. Do I go against what I've been doing and save my mother, or do I let them kill my mother? Mm-hmm. And he decides to save his mother. And then Snoke kind of gets all pissed off at him. And I think that that's what leads to. And while, yes, I agree that that final scene in that trailer where, you know, I need someone to show me the way and he puts his hand out, those aren't the same scene.
Yeah, no.
But I think that is him saying, let's go together and defeat Snoke together. And that's at the end of the film, I think. I believe. Okay, will Leia die in The Last Jedi?
I hope not.
It's not an answer.
No.
No?
No. I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
Yes, I say yes as well.
Just for the fact that Carrie Fisher died.
Will Luke die in The Last Jedi?
No.
I believe he will not as well.
Bob, we need to quit doing this. We're doing the same thing.
Will we find out who Rey's parents are?
Yes.
No. I don't think they will. I think we'll find out what her real name is, but I don't think we'll find out who her parents are.
It's Rey Parseghian. We all know it.
Calrissian.
Whoa. That would be a plot twist.
And Luke, or not Luke, Rey and Finn are actually twins. Just saying.
Lando makes his first appearance in the new trilogy, sequel trilogy.
Will Luke have his green lightsaber? Now we saw in the one poster, the international poster, he's holding Rey's blue lightsaber. He's not holding his green.
I think we'll like use it in combat or just see it in general.
Will he use his green lightsaber?
Probably not.
No? I say yes. I think Kylo Ren has it, and I think he gets it off of Kylo Ren.
That's a plausible thing.
Will Leia use the Force? And not just like, Leia. I feel something. Like, she legitimately uses the Force to move something, to do something.
I think she's going to talk to Kylo telepathically. So, yeah.
Okay. I'll buy it. I say yes as well. Is there a bigger bad than Snoke pulling the strings? Now, this is an interesting thing to ask, because there's been recently some rumors, not rumors, but theories that Snoke, much like Vader, you know, was the apprentice and an apprentice in some way. Some feel that there's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings, and Snoke is more Vader than Kylo Ren being Vader.
Yeah. Are we going to find that out this episode? Like, are we going to find out the higher power if there is one?
Are we going to find out that there's a bigger bad than Snoke in this film?
I'm going to say yes, but we won't figure out what it exactly is.
I say no. I think Snoke is the big bad. And will this film, The Last Jedi, be better than The Force Awakens?
I'm going to say yes, because I'm more of a war film guy. So if it has more combat, I'm going to more likely like it more.
I say yes as well. Now, those are 10 questions that I felt we need to have answered. Those are our theories on what's going to happen in The Last Jedi. And I hope that you all play along too. Jump on the comments and stuff like that. Tell us what you think about those 10 questions. I will be posting these up in the Facebook group, and you can comment on those as well.
At the remote control.
At the remote control. I'm also going to post, over the next couple of weeks, I'll post these questions up on Twitter as well, so you can follow along
at the remote control.
Now, one more thing, because just with this, what is your craziest The Last Jedi theory that you think will come to fruition? The craziest Last Jedi theory.
I think we're going to see, like, Rose die.
So you think Rose will die, so Finn's love interest is going to die?
Yeah. Or get, like, critically injured or something. She's going to come out and not be the same character.
Okay. I guess I get that. We can buy that.
Here you go. Poe becomes the one that loses an arm. Or hand, I guess, technically.
So Poe?
Poe, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Or no, Finn. Sorry.
Finn?
Yeah. Okay. In his battle with Phasma.
Be interesting.
I could see it.
Be interesting. The one that I think is crazy, that I think has the most possibility of coming true, is the theory that Luke does turn dark. That is the only one that I think is crazy, that while I wouldn't agree with it, I think
it's plausible.
It's the most plausible out of all the theories. I don't want it to happen, but I think it's the craziest one that could happen. So,
I mean, he could dabble in the dark side. I mean,
no, you know what? I'm going to take that back. Yoda will be in this movie. The theory that Yoda will be in this movie, I'm telling you, Yoda will be in this movie. He will be in this movie.
Yeah, probably as a Force ghost.
Exactly.
I mean, he was kind of critical in training Luke in, what, 5 and 6? Same thing with Obi-Wan. I'm sure we'll see Obi-Wan in this film, too. I'd be really kind of upset if we don't.
Yeah, I want to see Obi-Wan so bad.
Just Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. All right, but that's all I got. If you want to finish this off in our last big
segment. It's a what-if scenario. Now, in episode 3, we all know that Obi-Wan fights Anakin, Yoda fights Palpatine.
Yes.
Let's switch the roles. What if Obi-Wan... Well, here we go. I'll set up the scene for you. Yoda has went to Mustafar to fight Anakin. and Obi-Wan kind of stays back while Palpatine, you know, he's doing his thing, but he senses Anakin, you know, Yoda going for Anakin, and he goes to Mustafar. Now you have Obi-Wan versus Palpatine because Yoda's fighting Anakin. Who would win?
So Anakin versus Yoda.
Yes. That would be the first, like, initial setup.
Okay. Yoda, I think, would defeat Anakin, much like Obi-Wan defeated Anakin, but I think that Anakin would actually be defeated. I think the biggest problem with Obi-Wan and Anakin was Obi-Wan didn't want to make that final blow. And he left Anakin there to die. He believed that he was going to die there. He couldn't finish him off himself. Yoda could. Yoda would.
Now, before Yoda does that final blow, it's Palpatine and Anakin versus Yoda. Who would win that fight?
Palpatine and Anakin against Yoda?
Mm-hmm.
Not Yoda.
Okay. And then Obi-Wan would come to Mustafar. It eventually becomes a 2v2.
So you're saying everybody comes to Mustafar. See, I mean, I look at it as just take what happened in Revenge of the Sith and just flip the two because I think that would be cooler. But if they all go to Mustafar, I think that, unfortunately, the dark side wins, hands down. I think Palpatine and Anakin, as he is at that time, are too powerful for Yoda and Obi-Wan. I just believe that to be true. Like I said, Anakin or Obi-Wan cannot completely defeat Anakin. Mm-hmm. He just can't do it. He can severely injure him and leave him to die, but he can't make that final blow.
Yeah, he won't kill him.
Palpatine, I think, is much stronger than Obi-Wan. I think, you know, he's been training in the Force much longer. I think his connection to the dark side is so deep and rooted that Obi-Wan would have trouble fighting him. I think that's a big reason why he was able to beat Anakin, is because Anakin did not have that control, whereas Palpatine does. Anakin was still, even at the moment of fighting Obi-Wan, he was torn. Okay, light side, dark side, light side, dark side. He couldn't. He was battling himself as well as Obi-Wan. Palpatine isn't. That's why Palpatine pretty much manhandles Yoda, because he's been so ingrained, so rooted in the dark side, and so attuned that even Yoda, who's so attuned with the light side, it's a lot for Yoda to handle. And I think that's why he manhandles him. So I think if Palpatine, either way, Palpatine's going to win.
Yeah.
I do believe either way, Palpatine wins. I just think that if we do it this way, where they go on Mustafar, I think it's going to be more of where they're both dead. Whereas if we go the other route, where it's like Revenge of the Sith, it's just the rules are changed. Mm-hmm. Yoda survives and gets away, but Obi-Wan doesn't. And Anakin doesn't survive at all. There's no Darth Vader. You know, I think that's actually what would happen. And then you would have Yoda on his own, essentially, and Palpatine finding another apprentice.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, I see it. Did you play Revenge of the Sith's video game?
Yeah. Yeah, and how it ends where Anakin actually beats Obi-Wan?
Yes. I'm gonna play off this. This is not even written down. Okay, so we're in the final battle right before Anakin jumps. Like, they're on a clash on that little...
It's over, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Yeah, but right before that, when they're, like, clashing on the little platform floating thing, they're locked in, they're having a conversation, and Obi-Wan turns Anakin to the light. You good?
I'm good. You're good.
But Obi-Wan turns Anakin back to the light side, and Palpatine comes to Mustafar. Who wins that duel? Obi-Wan and Anakin versus Palpatine.
Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think that Anakin would have the ability to deceive Palpatine. I think he could convince Palpatine that I'm on your side and kind of backstab him at some point. I think that's what would happen. I think that would be the smart move. I think that would sense the presence of Palpatine coming, and Obi-Wan and Anakin would be like, okay, that's what they are. They would always, in the Clone Wars, for instance, they made plans or like, all right, we're going to go do this, you know, prior to the battle. I think that's what they would do here. They would be like, okay, so he thinks we're fighting. We got to act like we're fighting. You know, he's going to come in. I'm willing to take a blow, but you got to finish him off.
Yeah, you got to chop those hands off.
Exactly. I think that's something that would happen. Be interesting.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was a fun segment.
It was. It was fun. So what do you guys think? If the rules were changed, who would win?
Yoda versus Anakin, Obi-Wan versus Palpatine.
Who would win?
Ready?
Fight! Darth Sidious versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. and Darth Vader and Anakin prior to suit against Yoda.
Fight. But you have anything else? You have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't. I'm hoping this works. Let's see.
Okay.
Not working.
No. Okay. Bam 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 bam.
All right,
it's been Star Wars talk.
Take it easy, everyone.
May the force be with you.
Always.